Just last Thursday night, we invited the neighbor from our old neighborhood in, the neighborhood we moved from. And their names are Larry and Carol. Larry is an unconverted Jew, and Carol is a New Age Catholic. Neither, of course, believers. We're sitting there thinking about Israel, and we were trying to start a conversation with Larry about the state of Israel and why Israel has been bombarded through the years by its neighbors, and Larry made a statement. Only God could preserve Israel as Israel has been preserved, and only for a reason. You know, it's taken us 8 years to even be able to touch the subject of God with this couple. It's an 8 years. And we rejoice at the opportunity at our kitchen table to be able to talk to them then about God's dealing through the nation of Israel. Well, let that serve just as an introduction. You are where you are for a reason. Your neighborhood is a mission field. One dear friend of mine lived in his neighborhood for 12 years and moved just this past year, and he said to me, you know, John, I don't even know my neighbor's name. He's been there 12 years. So, look at your neighborhood, your neighbor, as a mission field. Now, what are some ways that you establish contact with neighbors? Is it possible to live in a neighborhood 12 years and not get to know your neighbor? Yes, it is. It is possible. Let's just give you proof of that, right? Let me share with you some experiences, and perhaps you can identify with some things. Last week we were sitting at our dinner table having dinner, and a knock came to our door. We opened the door, and there was Sam, the Vietnam veteran, standing there, almost with hat in hand. And he said, you know, I locked myself out of my house. And he said, can I use your telephone? He came in, we began to talk, and about 30 minutes later, he confessed to us that of the people in the whole neighborhood, he didn't feel comfortable going to anybody's door because so many people had been rude to him. He said, you know, people look at me with this leg that I lost and this hand that I've lost, and they're afraid of me. And when he left, he simply said, John and Ann, thank you for letting me come to your home. And I thought, is it such a big deal? Is it really that rare to find an open door in a neighborhood? The next door neighbor that I mentioned to you that lost her husband a year ago to cancer is really interested in yard work. And the other day I was out planting some German bearded irises in my backyard. And knowing that she is bitter and angry, I don't want to tear her away and approach her too quickly, but I was out there digging, and she stepped over and began chatting about how she just had a landscape plan drawn in her backyard and wondered if I could help her with things like her lawnmower and asking questions about flowers and so forth. And we've struck up a friendship. I haven't been able to talk to her yet about the Lord. But we can be there, can't we? Let me share one more with you. My next door neighbor is a new believer, he and his family. And he came over the other day and he said, John, I am so sick and tired of church, I don't know what to do. He's a member of a very large Presbyterian church, probably in the range of 1,000 to 2,000 members. And he said, we have program after program, committee after committee. They're writing me for money all the time. He said, what does church mean? We sat down around the Bible, and I explained to him the simplicity of the New Testament. Now, this is all within the confines of a little neighborhood where there are probably only 10 to 12 homes. Our neighborhood are mission fields. That's the introduction. And I hope you'll think about that during our time together this afternoon.
So what can we do?
Well, I need to know exactly what the conveners of the conference had in mind, whether the neighborhood that we're trying to reach is our own personal neighborhood or whether it's the chapel neighborhood. So I'd like to give you a few suggestions about both. Now, some of these may be helpful and new ideas to you. Some of them may be ideas, but I think the beauty of a session like this toward the end, we'll be able to share some ideas together. Let me get started. Chapel-related suggestions. First of all, is your Sunday school evangelistic? Before you answer that too quickly, is your Sunday school made up primarily of chapel families and their children, or are you getting children in from the neighborhood? Is your Sunday school evangelistic? How can you make it an evangelistic Sunday school? I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to tell you a few that we've tried. Children are the best people to reach other children. If you conduct a sane contest, have an attendance contest, get children stirred up to bring other children in, and they will do it. Our Sunday school is larger than the adult population in our chapel. And I hope it continues that way. Now, we have a lot of problems with children running all over our building. We have children running everywhere. And a deacon came to us not long ago and said, you know, if these children don't calm down, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. And we promised you, just do it on Saturday or Monday, not on Sunday, so the children don't see you. But one of the other deacons said, you know, it is getting a little out of hand, and I agree with him. We've got to set in place some guidelines to keep the children disciplined and make sure that things are done orderly. But there's something worse than children running in your hallway. You know what it is? Children not running in your hallway. No children. Isn't it evangelistic? I asked our Sunday school teachers not long ago, when was the last time a child in your class professed faith in the Lord Jesus? Are you giving the gospel? You shouldn't have to ask that question, but we must. Is it evangelistic? Secondly, this is something we've tried for about 7 years now. It's worked so well that I wanted to share it with you. Daily Vacation Bible School, family style. Let me give you the overall concept that's briefly. But first of all, let me ask this question. How many of you in your chapel, your home assembly, still have Daily Vacation Bible School in the summer? Can I see your hand? That's nearly everyone here, or at least 75%. We've had Vacation Bible School either in June or July for the past 12 to 15 years. And the pattern is, parents come, drop the children off, come back 2 hours later, pick the children up, and go home. We were sitting around thinking one afternoon, and we said, why don't we provide something for the parents so that rather than coming and dropping the children off, they can come and stay. So what we call it is family rally. There is a vacation Bible school schedule for the children, but there is a very meaningful study time for the adults. It tripled our attendance in vacation Bible school. It's become a family affair. And I'll give you a sample format. We have welcome, singing, and elaborate puppet show. We have an adult class. This past summer, Keith Promote from Wichita came and was our family speaker for the week. We've had Rob Lindsay's son. We've had Tom Taylor. Any number of speakers can come in and provide the teaching for the adults. While the adults are in their classes, the children are in a normal vacation Bible school schedule. The only time the two schedules clash is at game time. And the parents like to watch the children be involved in games.
So this is an easy level.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Both of those, I think that was the case for us during the day time.
Yes, most of ours have been too. And we weighed back and forth what are the advantages and disadvantages of not having it in the morning and picking it up in the evening, and it worked out beautifully for us.
And you really enjoyed
it? Yes. Yes.
What kind of topics do you see in the door?
Yeah, good question. We take up, what does the Bible say about disciplining children? We take up, we've actually had a seminar for couples,
how to make your marriage better.
Exactly. Something along those lines. Very practical, life-oriented issues. We have taken up, I think one time we took up, we need to have an assembly from the book of Titus. It's very practical. Not purely doctrinal, but on the practical side.
Now, are these parents people from the neighborhood, or are they people from?
They primarily come from the chapel, but when you have contests and send buses out of the neighborhoods and vans, it's amazing how many people come in to pass cars and buses and put signs and banners up around the chapel in the neighborhood. People come. That works very well. I'm excited about that format. If your vacation Bible school is lagging a little and it's just a ho-hum time during the week, once the summer, this may be a very good alternative for you. Alright, down at the bottom of the page, I've got in bold letters, door-to-door outreach. Let me explain to you what we do. We ordered a large number of the booklet, Ultimate Questions, by John Blanchard. Are you familiar with the book?
Yeah.
Very good. My thinking is probably the best and most beautifully done booklet for 75 cents a piece that you can find anywhere. It's more complete than a gospel tract, but it's not as thick as a book. You can read this in about 30, 45 minutes. What we do is put this in a plastic doorknob hanger. We've got a little doorknob hole cut for you. And we've done brochures, about our chapel. It has the order of service. We explain who we are. It's very well done. We place that inside the book. And in our zip code, which is 27615 in North Carolina, we have decided before the Lord to cover every home in our zip code by this time next year. In other words, by New Year's Day of 1996-97, we want to cover every home in our zip code. That's about 10,000 houses. We try not to engage people at the door the first time. Our area is saturated with Jehovah's Witnesses. When they see us coming, they think we're Jehovah's Witnesses. So here's what we're trying to do. We go up to the door and just press the doorknob hanger over the doorknob and leave. Come back 2 or 3 weeks later and then knock on the door and ask the people if they got our material. And generally they'll say yes, and I've read it. Surprisingly, they have read this booklet and they know who we are, and we can almost point from our building down the street, at least in the beginning. We've had very, very good conversations with people. We've had people visit the chapel as a result of this. The important thing, I think, is not to try to catch them cold at the door and force the conversation, but rather leave the material and come back later, and if they're interested, they'll talk with you. We've run across a number of people. One fellow by the name of Paul, just 2 weeks ago, stood at the door and told us that he really wasn't saved and he's thinking about the things of God. It was a really good opportunity to talk with. We had a single group that went out and did 250 leaves in the evening. Several of us go out on Thursday afternoons. So our goal is to try to cover our neighborhood. That is the chapel neighborhood within a year's time. That's something you can do. Don't surrender door-to-door work to the Jehovah's Witness. Yeah.
I think when you do that, you have to check with the town and clothing site, because some areas may not allow that on the road.
That's true. If they have any kind of no soliciting, stay away.
I like my program.
Oh, do you?
Okay. And in care prevention, we did fly materials under the bus. Anything you put in that little bag, it was, and you can't put it in the mailbox.
Right. Stay away from the mailbox.
So put this butt hanger and the material when you write the message.
Okay, we've seen some homes and subdivisions with a sign out front, no soliciting, and maybe it's our lack of boldness, but we try to honor that wish. If they have a sign in the window, no salesman, no soliciting, no nobody, we say what? Yes. Very good. We're doing the same thing, except we're mailing it to homes as well, and businesses. You can go to the library, get the city in that, and it'll give you every address, block by block. And we mailed out several thousand envelopes last year with this same material. That's free at the library. Okay. Fall Festival at the very bottom. On Halloween night, we have what we call a Fall Festival, alternative to trick-or-treating. We have set up our chapel. We have a gymnasium, a study school wing, and an auditorium. We have divided it into little booths. A rain cough, face painting, cupcake decorating, let your imagination run wild. Children come in at about 6 o'clock. We have a hot dog supper for them. And they go through and enjoy all of the booths. We have a piñata filled with candy. And it's an evening where family can come together. And at the end, we give a good, strong gospel message. And that has gone very, very well. This past Halloween, we probably had, 150 parents and their children in for Fall Festival. That's worked very, very well. Story hour, that's very simple. We try Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock. What do children do on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock? They watch cartoons, right? If you can give them an opportunity to come and hear an exciting story, and I think it's best to have a continued story, we give them cliffhangers. They're going to come back next time. An exciting story, refreshments, they love to do with other children, game time. We've done this from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we had a very good number of children turn out. These are children from the neighborhood. We'll probably have to provide transportation to and from, but that's not a great sacrifice, is it? Game night. Our chapel is fortunate to have a gymnasium, and we have not tried this. This is our next endeavor. Have a game night for children in the neighborhood. Have the gymnasium open. Free refreshments. We'd like to get, for example, we have a fellow in our chapel who's 6'8". He plays basketball for a college team. He can be a referee for basketball tournaments. And that's our next outreach, we hope, to have a game night. And I think it is best to run it 6 to 8 weeks consecutively so those people get the idea. All right, some home-related suggestions. Now we're looking not so much at the chapel neighborhood, but we're looking at your own neighborhood. And these are things we have tried. And let me just briefly explain them. And either your party, either Saturday before Easter, or perhaps even a weekday afternoon, have a party in your home for children, and we found that the adults come as well, to explain the story of Easter. You know, we've had Mormons, we've had nearly every religious group that you can think of in our living room listening to the gospel for 30 to 40 minutes. And we've done this nearly every year for the past 10 years. We've never once had the parents complain to us. And we've had many children right there on our ground who trust Christ as their personal Savior. This is something you can do if you have a living room. We send little invitations through the mail. We get our children to run through the neighborhood giving out invitations. And then we'll call them a day or two before the Easter party. We have this parent permission. This past Thursday before Christmas, we had the Christmas party in our home, and the man came up to see what was going on, and I told him, I want you to know right up front, we're going to explain to your children the Christmas story, how that Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh, came into the world to save sinners, and we're going to explain to him the story of how Christ came into the world. And he stood there and he said, great, I'll be back in 2 hours. And so we had a child for that, both of his children, for 2 hours. One of them was a cold carol. He tore our house to pieces. We should come back in 30 minutes for that one.
But when you send those invitations out, do people know in advance the first time?
Yes, they do.
I do that. Can you put it on the card?
Yeah, we'll put, come here the story of Easter, come here the Christmas story. And normally we'll call them by phone to follow up on the invitation, and we'll tell them this is a gospel story we'll be telling. Yeah, they know it. I think to be legitimate and to be upfront, the parents need to know what you're doing. And we've never had a parent turn us down yet. And I think this past Thursday before Christmas we had 10 or 15 children and several sets of parents come and listen to the story right along with the children. One little boy who comes from a Catholic background sat there and he was absolutely transfixed looking at the story of Mary and Joseph in the stable and the star in the sky and the wise men coming, and honestly, he had never heard the story before. Backyard Bible Club. Can be held anytime, can't they? We've had children come to our backyard and neighbors' backyards. We've gotten the permission of other neighbors to have a large shade tree or maybe a backyard that lends itself better to having children's meetings. And just gather children around with flashcards, child evangelism material, or backup flashcards, and tell the simple story of the gospel. You could really do this tomorrow if you wanted to. Children are drawn by these things.
That's not a new problem.
No, you're right. All right, that has to do more with children. What about hospitality? Don't forget hospitality. What does hospitality do in a neighborhood? Sure it does. But what do they see when they come into your home?
Real, that's the truth. Really.
What else do they see? When you have refreshment, would you want to bow your head and give thanks for the refreshment? Some people have never seen a family party yet. What if they walk into your living room or your den and they see a scripture verse framed on your wall? That's something. Your home, as a Christian home, is a safe, loving environment that your neighbors will begin to really enjoy. Think about what they see. Our overall behavior. We have, as I mentioned before, 5 children. Our home is like Grand Central Station. You never know who's going to be there. When I walk in the afternoon, I never know who's going to be there. When we moved to that neighborhood with our 5 children, it changed things. That was a quiet neighborhood before we got there. And now there are 21 children, age 12 and under, just on our street. We have 5 of them. There are bicycles all over yards in the middle of the street. The children come when they know they can get cookies, a glass of milk, and the warm, loving word. And we're not expecting milk. You come to our house, be prepared to see.
And my father said that we knew where our kids were then.
Yeah.
The other kids came to our house.
That's exactly what happened with our house. And children's moms and dads are off at work, and they really get off the bus and have no home to go to. They'll come over to our house and play games, and in cold weather come in and spend the afternoon away. The orderliness and cleanliness of our homes. You may be thinking, our house is not orderly and it's certainly not clean. But let me remind you that children see things and other people in a different light than we do. If you come from a home where there is no love, where everyone sins for themselves, you're very sensitive to the love of a Christian home, aren't you? It really does work. You don't have to have a perfect home. Just use it for the Lord. Okay? I want to hurry along with these next ones. These groups suggest that we try an evangelistic car wash. And before you jump up and down and say, what on earth are you talking about? This is what we decided to do. In Raleigh, North Carolina, everybody is image conscious. You don't drive a dirty car. Everything is, it seems like upper level management. People are very interested in things being clean and sparkling and bright. There are car washes all over town that charge $10 and $15. We decided amongst our youth group, why not have a car wash and make it absolutely free? But instead of it just being a car wash where you put soap on it and rinse it, let's do it right. Let's use soap that doesn't wash off the wax. Let's use tire dressing and top cleaning for the vinyl top. And let's do it really well. And so the young people accepted the challenge, and some of our elders were out there, the deacons were out there. We had 30 people out there. And car after car came through, and while their car was being washed, we had a fellow standing over there with a handful of trash, explaining why we're doing it free. And the first question they asked is, why is this free? And our answer is, we want to show you that just as this car wash is free and there are no strings attached, salvation is a free gift. And it went over very, very well. We must have watched 30, 40 cars in 2 hours now. It went very, very well. One fellow went home and got his wife's car.
Are you going to get any results from people coming to the house?
I don't know that from that far along we ever actually, we did get one family. We got one family to visit. And possibly another family that was staying with us now for at least 6 months. We're not sure whether the man is a believer or not. The wife is. Some of these things that seed sowing time, you don't know exactly what your Jesus knows.
Still getting the word out to
and our young people, it blessed their souls. It really doesn't do
it. Did you make it back to the post?
Yes, we did.
That's right. Yes.
No, I'm sorry. No. And then we also gave standard tracks that you can get through these publishers and other posts.
Puppet shows. And let me add a clown ministry. In hospitals where everyone seems to be sad and depressed, it's amazing what a clown can do. Don't wipe it off too quickly. We have a lady in our chapel who is very shy and very reserved, but when she gets behind a clown uniform and a mask, she comes alive. And there is a wonderful opportunity to give the gospel afterwards. Puppet ministry, was going to state fairs with a group of puppets. You can go to park and again let your imagination run loose. All right, I wanted to save the last few minutes. We've got about 15 minutes for any ideas that you may have. This is a resource class, and I really believe there could be as many helpful suggestions from you as what I have tried to share with you. So let's take, try to be brief, but let's take just a few minutes and share with the group some things that you have done in your neighborhood and perhaps through your chapel that has been good as far as reaching out to your neighborhood. Yes.
I actually love the ministry, and we use them because a lot of times the chapels don't have a workforce or a Bible school. We use the office as a drawing card to the families. We use the families off.
So you use puppets in the meetings?
Yes, and the parents like them as well.
Sure.
Or if we have a Bible story and straighten that story, we
come. Good. Puppets, yes.
A lot of clubs are very successful.
Oh, yes. Yes. How many have a lot of programs here? It takes a lot of people to keep one going. It takes a lot of energy. But it's a great, great outreach.
There is a lot of non-travel kids.
Exactly. I've heard the criticism, don't have a lot of groups because, you rarely have any children in the Sunday school, but you get them there for a while. What difference does it make whether they come to Sunday school or not? You like to have them, but you do get them. That's wonderful.
It's not a lot as acceptable over a tedious period when you can expect to try to take the
Very good, yes.
mind, it isn't really development. We are applying to the public schools to do a job of tutoring poor leaders, and we are hoping that that can be something ultimately at our chapel, so that we're all removed from any description of speaking the gospel. But it's certainly a need, put it that way, after there was a hand.
Okay. So when we started a few years ago, I'm from Toronto, Ontario. We go into individual schools, we're in 3 schools right now, and we send out...
Can you all hear the back? It's a little bit louder. It might be even more. Yeah, turn around.
In the Toronto area, we go into various schools, elementary schools, we send out an information sheet to 18 students, and what we have is Bible hour next. Okay, now it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we use that for school. And we have a very large amount of turnout, up to 60 children per school. And it seems like the work is growing, and we have seen reach salvation.
In Pennsylvania, in the Constitution of Pennsylvania, there's a clause that states children may be removed from school for one period a day in order to reach a week, that is, to receive religious instruction. And that we have not had to and in Texas too. Well, if you check in your statutes, in most of the state, you're allowed to do it. And if you have a question for the state, as many kids who want to come, it's called time out or, taking them away from the release time, we don't do it in our chapel, but there's a friend of mine who does it.
Our chapel shares the same street as a large elementary school. I'll check that out.
And you can bring it in for one period a day, and, or a week rather, in my case, and, you call the parents, you get the parents' permission, and, have the opportunity to do that.
That's the goal.
Yes. Schools, these comments are centered on the chapel. You just want to do them in your own neighborhood. What you said about your neighborhood, when you moved in and found out about the personal lives, I think that's true of everything.
How do you do
it? If you don't start out fishing for that, you have to build relationships and common ground and just being a good neighbor. And then you find out when there's an accident and a daughter dies on our street, 3 husbands die. And to know that, the same place that they came to tell the wife that her husband died of a heart attack down in Marina, but the one neighbor, and they sent him to our home. Because that neighbor said, they belong to you. And I was so humbled by that, to have the opportunity, and we spent the whole night with the one neighbor alone, praying with her. And that family came, I know that Lord, so they experienced that losing their home. Bro, that's exactly what I had hoped the Lord would teach. We're not perfect, it almost surprises us. When the Lord gives us an opportunity to do that.
But that they won't share those secret things,
right.
But they really have need.
Yeah.
So you've established that you're not out to focus.
Yeah.
Just your sister.
Very good.
You need that.
There's a philosophy I'm saying in the community that everybody thinks they're out to get something. And that's the one thing in Christianity I think is so different in your neighborhood. We live in a community that has a lot of elderly people. One of the things that's more occasionally where else. But me giving up yourself, too. That's one thing so important. It's like a name called Norman, where it's a church.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Saying, come home, you're tired from work, and you see the neighbor next door trying to get a sword started, he's 8 years old. They shouldn't be up here with us. So I've got this plan and this plan. I'm going to give up your life to put it on the line. And without those are motivations from Christian love. I don't know how often our neighbors, that gives you the opportunity to get out real liberty, hoping to do those things. They at least preach the gospel. They may not agree with it. They bring responses, but they have a respect for it because they see the difference in their life. And having that difference in your life really makes a difference. It's a motivation behind it. Strictly love.
Exactly.
I'm
sorry.
I love to although there seems to be a very big number that is trying to handle one of the advantages of the law. And now that there are any more that they have to have to do. I try to see how many of them.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, a woman's area, but it's a food aisle and a little food will actually. At Christmas last year, my kids and I made cookies in the aquarium. And we were around the neighborhood, we met three people that we had never met, and we've lived there over a year. We knocked on the door and bring them cookies. Or fresh baked bread. Well, then how many children? My mother said, I never bake bread. My children would devour the bread or the rolls and things.
Yeah.
One way we come to say things, we did the gospel in our neighbor's home, as we make fortune cookies, so we call them Proverbs cookies, because we have a neighbor's center and we print out Proverbs. So we cut them into strips and we put them in the fortune cookies, and these are huge fortune cookies in the book. So when a neighbor has a birthday, they know they're going to get our Proverbs cookies. And they never know what the Proverbs are going to say.
In our school, classroom, you know, we have something called Happy Day Club. And instead of teachers waiting for the kids to get home from our vacation, they all transported on the bus. But on Happy Day, then the parents are responsible for us getting home. And so as a matter of fact, I'm the Michigan Indiana resident. Meaning, I'm a grand. And I stay in Indiana for 2 years, and get my money, see my money. And the school they go to, they haven't had a day club. And as a result of that, my mother of the school has tried, and she's going to start classes for her to be sure he knows what's going on Sunday the 7th, before she accepts to be baptized or to be sure he knows what's going on. So this week, instead of me staying home, look up on clothes and all the gossip on TV, I go over to the school and help myself. And I feel that this is a good mission for the parents and grandparents. And they will be whomever that can avail or will avail themselves to help out with that.
Yes, yes, yes. The Jewish man who has a New Age Catholic wife, we've been praying for them for 7 or 8 years. And she's now expecting her first baby in March. Amazing how her attitude toward children has changed now that she's expecting one. And she's asking me all kinds of questions about what to expect. And we're hoping that when this baby comes into the world, their first question will be, how can I be the kind of parent that will guide this child correctly? They'll see their need for God. The Lord Jesus will know. And secondly, I have experienced getting so caught up in chapel activities that I run over people to function in the chapel. I have gotten my family into our van and squeaked out of the driveway without even speaking to our neighbors in order to get to the chapel. Now, am I the only one who thinks that's a little bit backwards? Building relationships with our neighbors is the only way, as one brother put it, we can give them the gospel. So let's not neglect that. Having time for neighbors is very important. Okay, thank you so much, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for placing us where you placed us. And now, our Father, realizing we are weak and faulty and frail, yet our heart, Lord, is to want to reach our neighbors with the gospel. We pray that you would give us patience and give us grace and give us the power of the Holy Spirit to witness to them of Christ and of His saving love. Father, the potential out of this class today is great. We pray that each of us will leave with real desire and real burden to reach our neighbors for Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.